This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by the official coffee of the Chromecast podcast, Fresh Roasted Coffee, who we've partnered with to make a special edition Chrome Unboxed anniversary blend. Here at Chrome Unboxed, we're not just nerdy about Chromebooks, we're also coffee snobs. And look, we wasted a lot of time hand roasting coffee before we found Fresh Roasted Coffee, and we haven't looked back since. This coffee is roasted fresh to order, immediately packaged, nitrogen flushed, and shipped directly to your door. And although we can't officially say that this Chrome Unboxed edition tastes any better than the normal anniversary blend, that is the word around town. But don't just take our word for it. Pick up a bag for yourself and let us know what you think. You can grab a bag over at chromeunboxed.com/coffee. Welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices. What's up, everyone, and welcome back to yet another episode of the Chromecast. My name's Joe, joined here today by Robbie across the table.
Hey, what's up?
And Gabriel by my side.
People watching are like, wait
weird.
A second.
Everything feels really
wait a second.
Weird.
Except, 2 weeks ago, Gabe was just right there.
You guys were.
So, we like that vibe. We
did. I'm just going to go to the other table.
I'll sit over there.
I'm just going to go.
I think you should have your own shot.
I'm just going to go be over there. Shot. I'm going to let you all sit and talk, and I'm just going to sit back and relax.
Set up five cameras and just have every angle
that
you can imagine.
Let's get 15 cameras.
Well, we had
cameras.
The other camera when we were using a phone for it.
Yeah.
How did we get around the whole limitation of it breaking it up, or did we just deal with it?
No. We were using Andrew's camera for that shot and that shot.
Oh, I thought we put a picture.
You used the phone at one point.
We did.
For a while.
We did, and it broke it up, and it was a pain annoying. In the butt. Yes, if anyone
it probably
knows.
Overheats. Probably overheats the phone.
I'm sure it's got some reason, but if anyone knows a workaround for filming long snippets on a Pixel, let me know on Twitter.
Have we researched this yet?
Yeah, the Filmic Pro obviously cuts it. The main app cuts it. Obviously, Filmic Pro is a very robust tool.
Probably as pro level as you're going to get.
And there was one other app that I had looked into, but I never ended up installing it. So, if anybody knows, let me know.
Can't do it. Melt your phone.
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
True.
But it's... I don't know that the... Because it starts right back up, basically. There will be a 1 or 2 second gap, but it's just enough for it to... I don't know.
Super weird.
Because if it's a heating issue, it would just not record.
It would just stop.
But it's real. It's recording. It's just splitting up the files. I don't know.
That's weird, too.
Hmm. Anywho. And then also, we just ran into the issue with our Sony cameras. Even though they're set at 30p, they're still recording at 29.97. And the phone, even though
I'll
it's set at
that.
30, is doing 29 point, or it's doing,
they're doing
true 30.
Yeah.
The
Fantastic.
Frames fit into a certain block, and then the project file matches that. So then if one's wrong, it's not fitting the same frames
Get
into
stretched.
The block. Messes. Okay. All right.
It's
enough.
It's
enough
fantastic.
Random.
We're not going to solve it here.
Yeah, we're not solving it here now. But if you know of an app that records long form and will do one file, let me know.
On an Android phone.
On an Android. Let me know. On Twitter at Chrome Unboxed. So we have a couple things going right now. First and foremost, I just for anybody listening to this as it comes out, probably put it out on Black Friday, probably on Friday.
Yep.
So there's obviously shopping going on. And although we don't normally discuss deals on the podcast because they're timely normally.
Fleeting. So
if you're listening to this later, although this is a news roundup, it's normally timely topics. There's still people that come back and listen to older episodes. Yeah,
deals are like 3 or 4 days tops.
Right. And so then if we're
at the best.
Yeah. So right if we're now, talking about one on the podcast, you're listening to this 2 weeks later, it doesn't make sense. So, but I do just want to direct you to the website because we're cranking out deals left and right.
We are.
And you can actually go to chrome1box/deals to see all the deals. And like Robbie said, some of them are 3 or 4 days. Some of them will be through Black Friday, Cyber Monday. They have a new one now. What's it called? It's Panic
Saturday. Tuesday?
It's something. I don't know. It's something
like the weekend
weird before
Christmas or something.
I think it's right.
Freak Out.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like Freak Out Friday. So you have
Freak Out Friday. It's the Friday afterwards.
Cyber
you're
week.
Like, oh my God, it's getting too close to Christmas. What am I doing?
I mean, I don't know why they don't just all just go ahead and bite the bullet and say, hey, starting November 1st, we're just going to run deals until New Year's Day.
Kind of seems like what a lot of people are doing.
Shop Black Friday deals all of November.
So Best Buy updates new deals every day. Some of the stuff is a Black Friday deal, so it's good through end of next week, whatever. But so you just kind of have to click around. Some of like that Duet, the OG Duet went on sale for like $189, but it was literally for 24 hours and that was it.
Right. Yeah. So. And these things, I mean,
Get mad at us if you see an article that's 3 days old and you can't get the deal anymore. It's not our fault.
Yeah.
Or that same day.
Or, like,
an hour later.
Or,
sell them out.
Yeah,
sometimes.
The HP Chrome Base, it's sold out. You can't buy it at Office Depot, but it's $229 for that.
That's what we do.
It's insane.
It's what we use to cast.
We move that inventory,
baby. We move
baby.
Product. That's what we do.
But yeah, like it's funny, like the whole deals thing. Like we've got a newsletter. You can sign up if you go to the newsletter sign up section on the site. You can just get deals if you want to.
That's
and it's
all
honestly
you care about?
Of our like regular things that we send out. Like Joe does his weekly kind of roundup thing, but we send up post notifications as well if you want those. And then there's a daily digest and a weekly digest that are kind of automated of all of those, other than the big. Because the big roundup thing that you send is also like our giveaway audience too. Yeah. So that's obviously a big audience.
35,000.
That's a lot of people. It's like a town, a city on a hill. But
it's amazing.
The other list that we have that's the biggest is the deals.
Yeah.
It's growing close to, I think, 8,000 people are on that list.
Yeah.
Because it's useful, but you also need to know. Like when it comes out, you need to know if you're going to go make a move on it.
Right.
And so we've kind of put all those things in place to make this as simple as we can, as straightforward as we can. And, at the end of the day, deal shopping is deal shopping. You either like it or you hate it. I hate it. I'm not a deals person. My wife loves to go bargain shop and look for stuff. Yeah. It's the hunt,
that gives me like
full
anxiety.
Price, please.
Yeah.
Price in stock. I'm good. I will go, like, I'll skip all of that stuff. TJ Maxx, Marshall's. God love you for what you do. Have fun in those stores. That's not my thing. I can't. Ross. I found some stuff in those that I like, and I'm not saying that you're not going to find good stuff.
I don't go there looking for deals. Yeah,
to put in the
same
effort.
Here. Yeah.
And you can't go look for anything specific. It's not like you can be like, I'm looking for this shirt, and I'm going to go to Ross or Marshall's or TJ Maxx.
You have
go get
no
it.
Idea.
You know what's going to be there. I don't like that. I like to know, like, oh, where'd you get that shirt? Oh, at Old Navy or Gap or Target or whatever. Cool. I'm going to go look online. Look, they have one in stock. I'm going to go buy it and then put it on myself.
Right.
Because that's what my wife and my mother-in-law love going to TJ Maxx with the kids and just looking around. They're like, well, you never know what you're going to find. I'm like, I know.
But I know what you're going to spend.
That seems like a waste of time.
But for me, I'm on the other side because we have a TJ Maxx here, but in Louisville they have Marshall's and TJ Maxx and Home Goods.
I've heard rumors about getting a Marshall's.
Ooh, that'd be pretty cool. But, my wife and I, we've gotten into some side hustles and, like, pallets and stuff like that. And one of the big things is going to, because TJ Maxx carries a lot of, like, makeup and beauty supplies and stuff like that. And finding stuff at TJ Maxx that's been clearanced or whatever, and then looking at what it's selling for currently on Amazon, a lot of people are making a few thousand dollars a month.
Yeah.
Just buying in bulk, you
it's
go
crazy.
Spending, and I'm like.
But it proves the point of exactly what we're talking about.
Right. For me, I'm like, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to make some money. I'm not going in there trying to buy nothing.
Right.
It's not happening.
But it proves the point that there are two types of people, basically.
Yeah,
they're the type of people that I don't want to deal. I'm not looking for a deal. I'll pay. I'm gonna pay what it costs.
Right.
Nate Bergetzi, we just saw him live. He had a little bit about that whole thing.
Yeah.
Talk about it. My wife loves coupons, man. She's loved coupons, and you know, she sends me these coupons. He's like, "What am I supposed to do with this? Am I supposed to go up there and be like, oh, I didn't bring enough money with me to pay for this deodorant.
Right.
I've been saving up. I'm hoping right. next time I can pay full price, but for this right. time.
Here's
I'll give you this piece of paper
here's and right. Cuban.
I'll pay a little bit less for my deodorant." And he's like, "No, the full price, please. Thank you. Just let me keep my nice. Dignity. And
yeah.
so there's those people that's what they're going to do. And that works because people will go find stuff on sale at a deal and sell it to the people that don't care to look for the deal.
Yep.
Because there's two types of people.
Well, shameless plug for a sponsor. We were talking about this at lunch. One easy way to save some money that doesn't require deals. Or coupons.
You're right.
Rolling
right
Rakuten.
Yeah, Rakuten. There you go. Yeah. And they'll even apply your coupons for you. So you don't
exactly.
have to think about it. You just get money in your bank
My
account.
My wife loves her some Rakuten.
Dude, yeah. I'm telling you. It's great.
It's good.
It's good stuff. I don't know.
I look at it and I'm just like, it's annoying me.
Yeah. The only thing I don't like about
Why?
Yeah. I don't know.
Just I did it yesterday. I ordered something yesterday for Christmas and got 2.5%
cash back.
You could
disable it per site.
I just don't buy much.
Right.
I buy big things.
This time of year, I definitely enjoy it.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, my wife gets she still gets the paper check. She likes getting the paper check.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's weird, but whatever. She likes, every 3 months, there'll be a Rakuten check in the mail. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I don't know how much back. And
she
just takes it and uses
She's gotten some pretty, because she buys most of her beauty supplies from Sephora and Rakuten. They're even on the Google store now. You get, like, I think 2% cash back on the Google store, but they're, you get cash back pretty much everywhere that you shop.
Yep.
And just like the deal I published right before we started, they'll automatically apply promo codes that you may not be aware of.
Right.
And it's worth it if you're looking to, you know, maximize your budget.
Yeah.
I'm
and like
kinda
this
like with Robbie too. Like if I'm set out to purchase something, if I can find a good deal on it, great, but I'm not looking for it. I'm like, I want this thing. I'm going to buy it.
It's just great when it pops up and it's like, I ordered new underwear, MeUndies. That's another affiliate that I'm trying to work on. MeUndies. They are so comfortable.
I've seen ads for them.
I've worn them for, gosh, I've worn them since probably 2016, 17.
Can we get a track underneath
And I needed some new ones. MeUndies.
I mean, I want to do one with Duluth.
Super comfortable underwear.
Just their commercials are...
No pinch. Don't get sweaty.
Don't get sweaty. Yeah. But yeah, I was ordering and was about ready to check out. Boop. Rakuten popped up. Clicked it. 2.5%, I think, is what I got. I was like,
I just don't shop that much. And so I just end up getting annoyed by those plugins. And then I disable them. And then I forget that they're there. And then, because
but yeah, that's why I was saying the only thing I don't like about it is, I mean, it's nice having the extension, but it does, it bogs down Chrome.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good. Because it's scanning every site.
It's really aggressive. And so then I end up turning it off and then just, I forget.
Yeah. You can, like, just pause it or only turn it on for certain sites. Yeah. And then when you are going to make a purchase, then maybe turn it back on or however you want to do that. But,
if you're like my wife, run that thing on everything.
Yeah, run it on everything.
She loves getting her
We'll link it down in the show notes. Go check it out if you want to save some money this holiday.
I have
season.
To say, though, my wife is also the person that will go and be like, well, yeah, but, you know, if I buy two, I get three free.
You're like,
but at the end of the day, we need zero of those things. We don't need that at all. Like, it's not even a thing that
but it's a good deal.
We weren't even but until you saw it, we didn't think about it. I didn't know that existed until you just pointed it out. It wasn't part of our collective psyche. And now we need to buy five?
That's great.
What's the deal?
That's great.
She loves some deals, man.
Well, outside of deals and coupons and all of this, we're just going to give away some stuff.
I like
that. That's always. Everybody likes that.
I like to buy big things and then give away stuff.
Yeah, giveaways.
Yeah.
Stuff. Linked down in the description, we're giving away five Lenovo Chromebook Flex 5i's.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to... in that giveaway on the 12th of December so that we can hopefully get them shipped out in time for the holidays. So make sure to go click that, enter to win.
And check your email.
Please.
Yes.
We got to move
today,
these things quick.
Today I picked a winner for our Chromecast giveaway. We finally hit 6,000 subs. Thank you to everyone who entered to win that. And the winner emailed me back in literally 5 minutes. I was so stoked.
That's shocking.
If you get those, if you see a Chrome Unboxed email and it's in your social or your promotions or any of those other folders that Google likes to filter stuff into, just open the email, click on the three dot, menu up at the top right and click move to primary.
Yeah.
And then from that point forward until Google decides otherwise, it will go to your primary inbox.
Yeah. Yep. I just drag stuff over. Can just drag.
I just learned about dragging Gmail.
The other Gabe didn't know you could drag anything in Gmail.
Gabe just started emailing like Monday.
What was it? We were emailing a partner back and forth, and I was like, Gabe, this thread is like you need to do this, and he was like, Oh, whoa, that's awesome.
I was grabbing from like CC to BC.
So we have some of our employees. We email on Mondays just with some different things, and Joe and I are on that thread, and he emails some stuff, and I email some stuff. So I hit reply, and it puts Joe in the main, and then the employee
drag and drop those
CC,
bad boys.
And I realized that you can just drag them and rearrange them. I was amazed.
Amazing.
I don't email a lot.
It's great.
And I think of John Mulaney when he's talking about. I remember what. It's the New York Post. He's like, you know, hero tutor teaches kids after school, and he's like, yeah.
Right.
Great.
Hero businessman learns how to email.
There you go.
Like Gmail allows you to drag and drop.
Love it.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't want to learn that.
Gabe was like, did you know that? I'm like, actually, no, I didn't. Yeah. I've never thought to do it.
I spent so much time in email with our last company that we worked for, and I still email a lot now. Yeah. So
I spend most of my day trying to avoid email.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be like, Robbie, did you get that thing I emailed you?
No.
Nope. Didn't even remotely
missed
see it.
I use my superpower to avoid email and social media.
Robbie likes writing articles and dealing with hardware, and that's it.
Hang out with my family and friends, and the rest of it can.
Speaking of new hardware, let's chat a little bit about some of these devices that you're tracking that are featuring the new Compagno 520 entry level chip.
Or 528.
Or 528, yeah. Today's episode is brought to you by Cameo. If your organization is looking to adopt Chromebooks, but you need to give your people seamless access to all their apps, including Windows apps, Cameo is the simplest and most secure and most cost-effective way to deliver all the apps your people need to be productive on Chrome OS. Cameo is a Chrome Enterprise recommended virtualization solution and is deeply integrated with Chrome OS and the Google Admin console, making it easy for you to push any app as a PWA to your Chromebooks. And now you can take advantage of a special Chrome OS and Cameo bundle that makes it easier than ever to test. If you're interested, you can head over to cameo.com/unbox. That's cameo.com/unbox, or click the link down in the show notes.
So I didn't say anything, and I think you talked about it in one of your interviews.
It's just the clock speed, right?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it should be.
Yeah, Victor confirmed. Because
the 828, like, I remember we were a little confused.
It's
when,
2 versus 2.2 gigahertz.
Yeah, let's say it's just overclocking, basically. So yeah, they're going to be interchangeable, especially at this lower spec level. It's not going to make a massive mind-numbing amount of difference. But, you know, just like with the Acer Chromebook 514 that has the 828 in it. We also had a device. I messed with it for a couple of days and it seemed to be fine. The Asus CM3, the flip CM or spin or flip is them.
Yeah,
Asus flip. Yeah. Flip CM3 with the 820 in it.
I still have that thing.
Yeah, it's
around somewhere.
Or Chromebook's coming out our ears right now. But yeah, I tested it and it didn't seem to be that different.
Yeah.
But I was really happy with the 828. So, I mean, if once these devices start coming out, I would say the 528 would probably be a better device to be using on a regular basis. But it's probably not going to make that much difference between the two. And, you know, model number speaks a lot here. It's the internally known as the MT8186. The 8183 is what was in the original Lenovo Chromebook Duet.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of just the next evolution of that. Hey, we're going to put this in lower cost devices.
Right.
I don't know that means that we'll see it in a Duet. I think Lenovo's moved on from that entry level, unless they, like, I could see them putting out the next Duet whenever they decide to do that. Hopefully they don't abandon that. They're the last vestige of Chrome
please
OS
don't.
Tablets.
And Lenovo, they make great if you're ones. Listening, please.
They make great ones. But I can imagine them having to decide at this point, like, are we going to make a Snapdragon 7C Gen 7C plus Gen 3? Because there's quite a few of those just kind of waiting in the wings, like devices that are coming out. I don't think any of those is a detachable or a Lenovo. But Whether they're going to use that in a Duet 3 or Duet, I don't know, what they still call it the 3? What's 3? I don't even know what 3
what
is.
Is.
3
what
is just their entry level.
Yeah, 3 is like, yeah.
3 series.
So, yeah, so level. 3 series, 5.
So
yeah.
It could just still be a Duet 3. The next Duet 3 that comes out, it could have that chip, or I feel like they would move to like the 828,
yeah.
The 800 series.
Yeah. Right.
Because it feels like they've moved up to mid-range and they're not going to go back to entry level. But they could do that. And then remember when they did the 10E?
Yeah.
That was the, yep. You know, do the kind do the
rugged Duet 3 education version.
EE yeah. Or whatever they call their education yep. models, and then put like the new entry level chip into that.
520 or 528 like that.
My guess is we'll see. This is just, it'll be mostly education devices.
Yep.
It'd yeah. be cool to see someone take this chip and make a thoughtful Chromebook. I haven't written this opinion piece yet, but I want to. But the Surface, Microsoft Surface SE that we turned into a Chromebook, basically, that device is one that is lower cost, and it's all plastic, but it's thoughtfully made. It reminds me of some older Chromebooks that had slow processors in them, but there was some thought put into the chassis and stuff. It didn't look like a brick, you know?
Right.
It'd be cool to see some
something like one of Samsung's cheap, not that Samsung would do yeah, that, but the something that looks yeah. like that.
What is that? What's the new one?
It's 360... Two
Chromebook, yeah, it's the same Galaxy Chromebook 2 360.
Yeah, but sure.
Great name.
Their names are terrible.
They're like, we have to fit
we're
a
gonna,
Galaxy.
We're going to keep naming it the same thing and make it sound like it's a new version. Of, like, hey, by
I think
way,
it's like
guys,
$150 off right now.
The too. Galaxy Chromebook 2 was a 360 device, remember?
Yeah.
Did you forget it? It did do all that already. So yeah. you're naming it something so it already weird. Did.
And it's It'd be not like, a
we're going to call this one the Red Galaxy Chromebook. Yeah. Oh, wait, the other two are red already? Yeah, who cares? Go with it.
Like, it should have been the Go. The Go is not 360, correct?
No.
It should
and
have
it's
been.
It's big.
It's 14 inches. Yeah, but it should have been the Go. Well, there was an 11.6 inch model that never launched.
Yeah.
But it should have been the Go 360.
100%.
Because yeah. it's that budget-minded
yeah,
device.
It's low-end.
But it looks cool. It does. You see that and you think, that's a Samsung Chromebook.
And it has a gorgeous screen on it yeah. that is destroying
or
its
something
processor.
Like Asus. Because Asus doesn't really lean into those budget-y devices
Not
from
really.
That end. They have some really cheap Intel devices. But something that looks like the white and black velvet CX50. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah. Something CX5. That looks like that in a smaller device would look
sure
dope.
Yeah. 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 So it'll be interesting to see. I hope it doesn't end up that the Companion 500, new 500 series, ends up in just budget Chromebooks.
Yeah.
Because, interestingly enough, when you look at the core layout of it, it's using the same big and little cores of the 800 series, current the 820-828. It's just got only got two big cores and six of the small cores. But those are all huge upgrades over the original 500 Companion.
Right.
So it's going to be a big upgrade performance for sure. There's no question. It's just a matter of like what devices is it going to find itself in. And yeah, like under heavy load, it's the multi-core is going to be slower
sure.
than the 800. So if you're trying to run like heavy games or do crazy stuff with it. But I think on like you got five tabs open and a couple windows and an app here or there, it's probably going to feel on par with an 800 series. So
well, they didn't let me. They didn't let me film it. But I talked about this in the interview with Victor that we literally just put out. So
yeah, yeah.
202 episode. If you want to go check that out. So out in California, I actually got some hands on. They didn't let me film it because it was a reference device that I think would have been recognizable.
Was it a clamshell?
Yeah. And I think if we would have filmed it, people would have been like, "Oh, that's that. There's a new version sure. of that." So they didn't want me filming it. But I did get to do a hands on demo. And it was doing Discord, streaming the screen in Discord with GeForce Now and something else running. I don't remember. But basically, those were like kind of the three main things running. External display.
Okay.
So this one obviously
it supports a 1080p, I think.
I think 1080,
up to
yeah.
1080.
And so external display running as well. And it was moving right along.
Yeah, like the 828 surprised me. We're doing our best of. We don't have it out yet, but I wrote the script. We've recorded the A-roll of our
very soon.
Yeah, Chromebook best of 2020 or best Chromebooks right now, basically, because there's some stuff on there from last year. But we're putting that list together, and so I'm having to kind of like reminisce over mm-hmm. some of these older devices, and you know the 828 powered Chromebook 514. Like, that was just one of those ones I look back on and I'm like, man, I remember, because I think it was over the summer or something, whenever that came out, I just remember taking that device home with me mm-hmm. a lot on the weekends for mm-hmm. some odd reason. Like, it just ended up being the one that stayed in my bag on the weekends. I really like that Chromebook. Like, I wrote a lot of articles on it. And, you know, the keyboard trackpad's great. And, mm-hmm. and the performance was, again, it wasn't like mind-numbingly fast or anything. It just it didn't get in its own way. You know, it's like, cool, this is an affordable Chromebook.
Right.
It's a little aluminum, a little plastic. It's not high-end anything, but it's super enjoyable to use. And so if these ARM chips can get there and then hang on, because that's the other thing, it had ridiculous battery life.
Yeah.
Like, it would last 14, 16 hours on a charge. And so I could take it home over the weekend and use it multiple times and never even once even think about putting it on a charger. And so
Victor referenced that several times. And they were talking even about, like, their focus on sustainability and thinking about, like, creating devices that have that sort of battery life. You're plugging them into the wall less.
Right.
You know, and so your carbon footprint is being reduced by using these devices that have this sort of battery life. And when you take that at scale over the, you know, the tons and tons of people that are using these devices. Right. Yeah. Yeah. The battery life is substantial. Important. Yeah.
And it's, you know, we're getting to this point and again, in writing that script, you know, thinking through, like, we're getting to this point where last year's Chromebooks are excellent, not because, oh, well, last year was just so good. It's just,
no,
I don't want to say we've hit peak Chromebook because we haven't quite got there yet. I don't think, like, the Dragonfly is getting pretty close.
Yeah.
But you know, I think it's like rounding out in this weird way. I don't know what kind of curve or graph that would make. But it's hit to the point where, like, the performance, like, every year I remember it being this thing, like, I can't wait till the, remember being on 8th gen Intel chips, waiting for that 10th gen so we get the better Wi-Fi and the better Bluetooth and all that performance is going to be like this and all that GPU. And then 11th gen was all about the GPU and speed boost. And then 12th gen came and it's like, these are better than 11th gen, but not wildly better. Like, the GPU is better in a 12th gen Chromebook.
And I think that's the thing, is that Chrome OS has always been, especially a few years back, because Chromebooks were coming out with last year's chips.
Oh, yeah.
Now you have new devices that are on par with anything you can buy on any Windows device, and Chrome OS is no longer ahead of the hardware that it's being ran on. There's nothing that this hardware for this current generation, there's nothing it can't do. So it's like, until Chrome OS gets pushed a little further and we start seeing other ways to leverage the horsepower that's in them, it's really more about refining the devices and battery life and performance and stuff in those areas. And that's where I think ARM can shine. I mean, my wife still uses her Duet, the larger Duet, all the time. And I'm like, it's a great device because if I'm going to go somewhere on the weekend or I just want to take something in my bag, I'm going to take it. Because if I take the Elite or whatever and I end up doing some heavy work, I know I'm going to have to plug in here eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, seven hours is fine for a work day. And like, to have that much power and get, you know, that kind of battery life, 7-8 hours, it's like, that's fine. Like, that's a fine trade-off. But there's also something about having a device that you know is powerful enough to get you through most of your stuff, but then also has that iPad-like battery, like that eternal feeling battery where I can just close it down and take it. Or, like, if you're going on a weekend trip or something, like, yeah, I probably need to plug this in, but if I don't, it's okay.
It's going
to
be fine.
Like,
yeah,
there's just something cool about that. And like you said, I think the lightweight nature of Chrome OS has stayed pretty lightweight, and now the hardware has kind of just eclipsed it so far that now it's like, cool, we can recommend devices that aren't cutting edge performance-wise and getting crazy battery life are way cheaper, by the way. What we need to see manufacturers do now is start moving the direction of saying, okay, if we're going to cut cost on processor, which ARM processors are always cheaper, if we're going to cut cost there, let's bump the RAM up a little bit. Let's bump the storage up a little bit. Let's pay attention to the screen.
A little better screen,
keyboard.
Maybe. Yeah.
Let's stop building devices that you can grab with two hands and twist, you know, like a Twizzler. Like, let's get rid of that stuff. Let's fix all those things. I don't care if you put an 11th gen processor. If you build me a Chromebook that's substantial in every way, it doesn't have to have the highest end parts across the board. Just be thoughtful about the way you put it together and save some money on the processor. Who cares?
I think about, like, that Acer has their big, I think it's their big 17 inch device, but it's been on sale a lot lately. It's a Pentium 6000.
Yeah,
so it's a silver, it's not even a gold, so it's down in the small core. But you have 8 gigs of RAM. That has more than enough power for somebody who just needs a laptop at home to work on or watch content. It's plenty. Make it cheap, make it inexpensive, and it has a really good build quality. You know, focus on that build quality, because the people that need or want a Core i5 or a Core i7, they're going to buy it regardless. But I agree with Robbie 100%. I think where these middle of the road Chromebooks, manufacturers need to start working on refining them, because Chrome OS is in that weird space. You go out and you buy a middle of the road Windows device, you pay $500 for a larger Windows laptop, you're not expecting a whole lot.
No.
I'm right. not, personally. Yeah,
it's going to have a TN panel and yeah, a terrible trackpad.
Yeah, $500 for a Chrome OS device, you can get to some really nice yeah, hardware sure. for $500 and not have to, and you're not buying something that's like a monster internals-wise. It's right. just, it's plenty of power for what you need, but it's designed very well.
You know? Yeah. So you were talking about the SE and kind of this thoughtful device maybe with this entry level, you know, Companio chip. Like, are you saying that, you know, just take some of the refinement now that we do have these cheaper chips and they're still plenty powerful enough,
right?
And just focus on some of these extras and
yeah, because like
put in Surface, a little better screen or
the
put in a
Surface
little...
laptop isn't expensive. The SE one. I yeah. want to say, like, we bought it for
yeah.
$200 or $180 or something.
Was it brand new?
Basically.
Box looked new.
You know, and it's, again, it's a different market. They only sell to schools, yada, yada. But I think, I'm pretty sure brand new to the school, I want to say it's like $270 or $250 mm-hmm. or something like mm-hmm. that. And honestly, it's got a nice little screen on it. It's got a really good feeling keyboard and trackpad. The device feels solid, like it doesn't feel cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have the best internals in it, but it's like as soon as we put Chrome OS Flex on it, guess what? Yeah. It's fine. It runs fine. And so I'm like, okay.
Did you like try to work from it for a day?
I'm going to. We have so many videos in yeah. the queue. Like it's one of the things I want to do, but yeah. I also want to take apart the framework.
Yeah.
And then I thought today I want to take the bottom off the Acer 516 GE and see if I can swap the RAM in it or not.
Ooh.
Never yeah. know. It's got plenty of chassis room. They might have left it.
That would
it open.
Be interesting.
Because I'm curious. It'd be cool to bump it up to 16.
Yeah.
There's all these things I yeah. want to do. But yeah, I want to work from it for yeah. a day. I don't even know what the display out maxes out at. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, who knows?
What is the processor in that thing?
4020, isn't it?
P, I think right?
It's like a 4200 or something. Or no, 4120.
Okay.
That's what yeah. whatever that
yeah.
is.
That's, yeah. Gemini R.
Yeah, I just don't know if it's going to be able to do quad HD out or not.
Yeah.
It probably will. Actually, now that I think about it, it will. It just won't do 120 hertz.
Right.
Which is no big deal. But yeah, there's just something about picking that device up and realizing, hey, it's all plastic. This is affordable. I don't know. It looks good. Like, and again, that's just thoughtful manufacturing. It's mm-hmm. not... It's not like some cutting-edge, state-of-the-art thing. Like, they figured out how to cut costs magically. No, they just thought about what they used.
Right.
In it. It can be all plastic and still be nice. It really can. Like, it's possible to do. And it's frustrating to me that the low end of the Chromebook segment right now for the consumer market's a little frustrating when things aren't on sale.
Yep.
When these devices come mm-hmm. out that look like they were built 10 years ago and have no aesthetically pleasing characteristics to them whatsoever... And you're like, you want $400 for that? Are you
right.
Are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
Like, why would somebody buy that thing? Like, if it's $99, like there was the Lenovo Flex, the Flex 3, both versions of it, Companio and Intel, are $99 at Best Buy. All day. Go yeah. for it. At $99, you can excuse anything, basically.
Right. Right.
You put whatever you want in it. If it runs a computing operating system and you could get something done on it for $100, go nuts.
Yeah.
But the minute that thing, I bet you like retails, like when it came out, I bet you it was over $300.
Probably.
Like yeah. $330, $350. And I'm just like, with all those trade-offs, you know the mid-range of the market pushes down into that price range all the time.
Yep.
Like,
and that's the problem is that you have these devices that are $370, $400, and the price gap between it and the almost premium devices.
Right.
The gap between the price is very minimal compared to the gap between the features that you're getting. Yep. And it's something has to change there because I feel like consumers are getting duped because they go out and they buy this. Oh, this is the latest Chromebook from so-and-so. It's a small core. It's this, it's that. It's got right. a bad panel, but it's $399. Like,
ooh, well, yeah. it hurts.
Great. Yeah. You can buy the HP X360 14C right now for $399.
Which is all aluminum and a fingerprint scanner.
A great screen and good keyboard and Core yeah. i processor and everything else.
It's such a tough sell, but people don't know any better. And that's like
right.
going back to talking about deals at the beginning. That's why we try to put this stuff out yeah. all the time, too. It's like, trying to continually make consumers aware, like, wait a second, I need to take a step back. And that's why we redid our best of
right this year. And that's the thing, is we say this a lot of the reason we don't recommend a lot of lower end devices is simply because they're priced out of contention. So no, when we share a deal on a device like that, it's because we're not saying, oh, this is great, you should buy this Chromebook. We're saying, for this price, it's worth the money.
Right. Now makes sense.
I just shared one. CTL's got one. Their base budget in 40, 20, whatever, clamshell is $99 through.
Right.
It's durable. It's drop tested. It's water resistant. It has a rotating camera. It's got a carrying case. It's perfect for kids. For $99, should you buy it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you're not would I buy that. It for $270? Not in my wildest dreams.
Yeah. No. And so I think the low end just needs to be some adjustment.
Yeah.
MSRP adjustment. And I get it. You know, Chromebooks are built to go on sale. It's
the world we live in.
It's the Kohl's pricing model. Like, you know, oh, you look at you. You saved $350 on that t-shirt. You know, and like their markups are so dumb. Yeah. Like, you buy like a t-shirt and some shorts, and they're like, you saved $57. Mm-hmm.
What? How?
On what? What else did I buy? No, that t-shirt you just bought, it was retail $60.
It was 87% off today.
That's odd. That's weird.
Here's some Kohl's cash Kohl's you have cash. To spend here.
In 3 days.
Yeah, exactly.
In 3 days.
Here, go fetch.
Yeah. Actually, you're allowed to walk outside, and then you have to walk back in to spend this Kohl's cash.
You can't
cash.
Spend it right now. You got to leave and come back.
Physically leave.
Yeah, you have to walk out and walk back in. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, yeah, the pricing structure on Chromebooks, it just, I mean, it is what it is. That's the world we live in. But like the guy said, that's why we put out these deals and try to stay on top of that as much as we can. Because you know, when some of these devices drop down, you know, it's like you're getting a lot of Chromebook. The 14C is a great example of just getting so much Chromebook for that price. It's, and then you've got other cheap, terrible old devices.
And I will say the only bad side of that is the fact that when some of these mid-range, mid to high-end Chromebooks do drop in price that much, it skews people's minds a little bit as to what they should expect for their money.
So it's like, sure.
I should be able to get a great Chromebook for $400. Well, technically, no, you shouldn't. $400, you expect an all-aluminum chassis and a bright IPS screen and great speakers and, you know, half a terabyte of storage, and for $400, like the price of the components alone outprices that. Like, it's not realistic. And so it does create a little bit a false sense of, you know, Chromebooks are cheap, because they're just not. And the difference, like, look at the frame, like, Framework shows us this. If you go to Framework and look at the Windows version and look at the Chrome OS version, it is the same laptop. It's the same components, the same chassis, keyboard, screen, all of it. Every lick of that thing between Windows and Chrome OS is the exact same device, except for in the motherboard, the modules in there, one runs Windows, one runs Chrome OS. That is it. That is the only difference. And I want to say the Windows one is like $50 more. Because there's a Windows license, obviously, and stuff, you know, but it's $50. And so this whole time, there's always been this thing like, well, Windows devices have to cost more because there's Windows on there. I'm like, no, they don't. Like, they don't have to cost that much more. It's just the mentality. People are like, oh, well, it runs Windows, so I can pay more for it. And I get there's the whole argument of value and all that kind of stuff when it comes what all you can do with a device. But at the end of the day, if you can get done what you need to get done on a Chromebook, then the pricing, the value structure doesn't matter as much. Now, all of a sudden, it does come down to what components are you paying for? Like, what stuff are you going to have in your hands after you spend your money? And unfortunately, the thought process for Chromebooks a lot of times is, I shouldn't have to pay that much because it's a Chromebook. Well, it's still a laptop. It's still the same hardware. Yeah. Like, it's made of aluminum. Stuff. Yeah.
It's a nice screen. It's a nice keyboard. Yeah.
So it does create some weird, like, it's, we're just in a weird spot with Chromebook pricing right now.
Yeah, and I think that's why probably so many people are fascinated and are subscribed to our deals, you know, because it's like...
It's almost like you never know.
Yeah. I mean, holy crap. And it does. It happens.
It does. Like, and the first time that GE, the Acer, I went back to it today.
Every morning. Every morning I check for a deal.
I flipped it open and wrote on it this morning. I was like, oh, I love this Chromebook. I really do. Like, it's just my favorite Chromebook to use right now. And, you know, I'm like, if it dropped to $500, I mean, That's an insane laptop to have for $500. Yeah. It's just,
I mean, it's like the base model Lenovo one that was at Walmart. It's been out of stock for over a week now because it's 300. Is it the best premium Chromebook out there? No way. Is it a killer deal for $400? Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think it's just important for people not to get skewed on what to expect to pay for a good Chromebook.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, sure.
When you're getting the better components and you're getting better build quality and attention to finer details and
right.
the experience and, that you get right. out of it at the end.
And like you said, hopefully, you know, as we have entry level chips that are getting better and better from a performance standpoint and battery standpoint, and they're still cheaper.
Right.
You know, we can have some of these manufacturers that do focus a little bit more on some of the aesthetic and put together a thoughtful device with,
right.
you know, a Companion 520 or 528 in it.
We don't need that. Like, it's fine for it to be in the $1,000 Chromebook line, but as 2020 has shown us,
yeah.
that's not where Chromebooks are.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to work for enterprise stuff. And
right.
go build that for enterprise customers. Great. Have fun.
Yes. I mean, but, I've been working from the Elite for 2 weeks now. And I mean, I absolutely love the device.
It's great.
Am I going to tell the average consumer to go out and buy one? No.
It's a hard sell.
The one we have is what? What is it? $1,800?
It's like an $1,800 configuration.
That's not where the Chromebook market is at right now. The fat middle is buying that $400 to $600.
Yeah,
and that's on sale. I mean, your Spins, your HPs,
yeah,
whatever.
$600 to $700 at MSRP.
Yeah.
That's just the normal. That's where it's at. And, I still think some of those devices at those prices, those are still fantastic deals.
Sure.
Like when you go spend $600, $700 MSRP, not deals, on a Windows laptop and
a great
compare
value.
The two,
yeah,
I'm like, unless there's something on that Windows machine that you need Windows for. Then I almost always the Chromebook version of that same amount of money is going to go farther in a Chromebook for some reason. I don't know why that is. I think it's just perception.
Yeah.
You know they can get better margins on Windows laptops. It's just kind of the way it is. But so deals.
There you go. Go check it out. Go,
deals on deals.
Go check out our deals newsletter. All right. We're going to take a quick break for an ad and we'll be right back. This podcast is brought to you by NordVPN. We recommend the service and we use NordVPN because they keep your browsing secure and private on any device. Whether you're using a Chromebook, an Android device, a Mac, an iPhone, or a Windows device, NordVPN is going to protect your browsing. They also have 24/7 customer support in case you ever have any issues, and they offer a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to learn more and maybe give it a try, head over to chromeunboxed.com/Nord, N-O-R-D. Alrighty, welcome back, everyone. It took us 3 tries to get going there. Sometimes it'd be like that.
Yep.
It's right before Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
We already have
it's Wednesday.
Yeah, everything's off.
It's Wednesday. Gabe's been gone. He's sick.
Yeah. I lost an entire day, apparently. I'm coming to work this morning like, coming for Taco Tuesday. Robbie's like, it's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday, dude. It is Wednesday.
Cool, you guys want to grab some pizza?
I had a mind-blowing fish burrito from our local taco place yesterday.
I'm not going to lie, it looked pretty good.
Is it fried or grilled?
Fried. Oh,
it looked pretty yummy. Might have to try that next week.
I'm going
to
try it again.
I do want to try the fish sandwich from
JR's
Neighbors. Yeah.
It's also fantastic.
It was massive.
Might get that tonight.
Well, there's something in me that's just like
I think that's why I was disappointed because the chorizo burger. Yeah, the chorizo burger was phenomenal, but it was like McDonald's dollar cheeseburger.
And my plank of fish came out situated between
Robbie and Greg are sitting by me, and I'm looking at their food like, I'm still hungry.
Yeah.
3 bites and my cheeseburger was gone. But it was delicious.
Like, I could give you half of my fish fillet.
That's right.
Got a fish and loaves situation over here.
It was good.
Keep handing out
fish. That's right. On a different note.
On a non-food related.
On a different note, shout out to all of our new patrons. We launched the new giveaway with the Flex 5 Eyes and got some new patrons in the Discord. And it's exciting. So if you're not aware, for $5 a month in our Patreon community, you can get access to our private Discord.
Yep. And it's
super
awesome.
Cool.
And we have a channel in there just for coffee and smoking meat. So I can make everything about food.
That's right. Everything is about food.
We've got one patron. I don't know if we can say patrons' names on here.
Probably not.
Probably shouldn't. We have one patron, though, who is traveling like all over the place. He's sending us pictures from like Bangkok and like doing speed tests on their 5G and all that stuff. It's been cool.
Yeah, it's a cool community, and obviously we're in there, so you get some access to ask us questions if you ever need to. But it's just it's more of just a community, and everyone, you know, all of the other patrons in there are if you have questions or you're working on things or you're sharing things, it's not just access to us. You're getting in with a group of Chromebook enthusiasts.
Perfect example.
It's great.
Yeah, click this so it hides the names. You won't be able to see this, but you can probably look at it and see like it's a huge fire. And it's just a meme in there. Somebody put fried turkey. Just 5 more minutes. It's going to be so tender.
Yes. Exactly.
We'll send that to Andrew so he can include it in the edit. Yeah,
that's great. Oh, it's great. I'm in a few groups on Facebook for like, smokers, Traegers and pellet grills and all that stuff. And one guy had posted a picture this morning. It was his turkey. He had gotten out of the package and it had a giant X carved into the top of it.
What the heck?
And he posted in there and he's like, is this normal? Or should I take it back? And like, I just figured maybe it was something certain packaging companies did or something, but literally no one in the group knew what was
going on.
So he had contacted the company or whatever, and they gave him a refund, and the store gave him another one. But one of the guys, and if you're mine and Robbie's age, you're going to get this. He said, seems pretty simple to me. That's a straight edge turkey.
Yeah.
I was like, I cannot believe you brought that up.
I remember straight edge
turkey.
I've got a friend who has a straight edge tattoo.
It was big around here, man. Real big.
Oh, yeah. So. I've got a friend who has a straight edge tattoo.
Yeah. If you don't know what that is, go Google it. I have a few friends in high school who have them on there.
Oh, yeah. But Patreon community, if you want to join,
straight edge turkey.
Rails went over here, we went over there.
But yeah,
Patreon.com/Chrome Unboxed.
Yeah, and the community is awesome, and that's another place. There's a support channel, there's a deals channel, which is awesome because as much as we try to stay on top of deals, there's a lot of
quickly
stuff.
Throw them in
we
there.
Can't share everything, and some of these guys will stumble across like regional deals that you can only get at like certain stores or whatever. But the support group is great. We've got a few guys in there that are way smarter than the three of us combined, a lot of Linux experience and admin stuff, so if you need some help or whatever, it's just it's a great place to hang out.
That's the cool part. I think like there's certain communal aspects, like not everything's better by committee or better by group effort, but like getting help on stuff, like there's a lot of people that are just as knowledgeable as we are about
100%,
and so you know, like somebody will ask a question, and I might be, you know, at Topgolf or something. And, you know, the next
as he is frequently.
I'm there a lot right now. Somebody else can just see it and be like, I know the answer to that. Yeah, I'll just answer it. That's what it's for. That's why it's awesome.
And we need to look into the forum stuff. That's fallen off my radar. But
yeah, last time I checked,
it wasn't actually live, so you couldn't do it.
So.
Okay. Yeah. I would love to do that eventually. So that way, what I would like to do, and I'm totally going to just steal this from Colin and Samir, who do creator support in their Reddit. So people can ask questions about what they need help with, and it gets upvoted, so they know which ones most people are interested in.
And then they talk
about it on the podcast. So I would love to do that. I would love to figure out a way where the community in our Discord can ask us questions and we can upvote them or like them. Maybe for now we could just do like likes or something, and we could figure out a way to answer questions from that community. I think that would be really cool. Okay, moving on. Let's talk about the Framework laptop. You mentioned it earlier. Last week we talked about it. We put out a short that was then taken down. We put out the article that was before the embargo because Robbie just read a different day. Different time.
I don't know. I don't even know where I came up with that.
Who knows? It happens.
I could see if it would have said 9 a.m. Pacific time and I just missed the time zone.
One of our reps messaged me and was like, hey, just FYI, the embargo's at this time. Can you take it down? And I was like,
what was it? 8 Pacific?
8 Pacific. So 11 Eastern. How did I turn that to 9?
That's when you published was
9 a.m.
sharp.
So
right on it.
So anywho, we talked about it a little last week, but we were kind of trying to tiptoe around it because it was under embargo. So now that it is not under embargo, what are your thoughts?
Using it for a few days because I wanted to stay away from it a little bit until we unboxed it, like actually unboxed it. But we did that. I'm going to say
Monday,
right as we were doing the podcast or somewhere right in there. Yeah. So I didn't have much time with it at all. I've been working from it since. I will say I'll give a bad news first. Like, there's something going on. I don't know. I need to power wash it first, and then I'm going to have to send some emails. And there's something up with the particular build or my particular device where, you know, it's just hanging up a lot. It's struggling, like, you know, low-end Intel processor sometimes struggling.
It's got, like, a lot of juice. It should not be...
There's no reason this thing... It literally has the same processor and configuration as the Acer 516GE. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I went back to... Like I said earlier, I opened that thing back up. I'm like, well, this is apples and apples here. And the Acer Chromebook is internally pushing a 120 hertz display in addition to my 120 hertz on...
Right.
On the desktop. And so I thought maybe that was it. So I unplugged it and used it for a minute, and it was still doing the same stuff. So I was like, maybe Chrome OS is not good at dealing with 120 hertz here and 60 over there. Maybe it was, I don't know. But I've used other Chromebooks that aren't dealing with that either. So I don't know what's going on.
Is it in a weird build or anything?
No, it's unstable. I even went to beta to see maybe just they've addressed this already, and, you know, because it's just now kind of coming out. So. Right. I got to do some more research there. So that's been a little bit of a bummer. But when it's not doing that, and it's weird because once it starts doing it, it's
like once it's hung up, it's hung. Yeah.
But then I'll restart it, and sometimes it's like within 5 minutes it's doing it again, and then sometimes I go a couple hours and don't really notice it, and then all of a sudden you go to swipe up once, and, you know, I got four windows or something open, and it's like,
oh no.
Like, bad. Oh, like, no. It's lost some animation. Like, no, this thing looks like it's about to die. So something's going on, unfortunately. So I got to figure that part out. But, you know, they'll figure that out. Whatever the issue is. I mean, it's not like this configuration is unproven in another Chromebook.
Right. There's
another one I have it hooked up right now, and I worked from it for a couple hours this morning, and, you know, it's my favorite right now, but it was butter, you know, and it's pushing even more than the framework is. But aside from that thing, you know, I haven't torn it apart yet. I haven't done all that stuff. Like, the modularity of it is interesting. And they sent us some RAM I want to put in it. And, you know, I wanted to, I'd like to do a video. Like, we can even take a hard drive out of one of the other devices or something, or I don't know. Do we have an NVMe? Mm-hmm. Stick
couple
somewhere.
Of those boxes over there.
And just to swap it, just to do it on camera to show it. And that might be some Gabe ends up doing a video on. Like, hey, we've done some of these teardowns on a little more technical ones. Like, this one's made to be done this way. But, you know, still show people on camera how easy it is.
Do RAM swap in 90 seconds.
I've got an email in to see, because the Chromebook version, the power button is not a fingerprint scanner. But they sell a fingerprint scanner that goes in that spot for the Windows devices, obviously, for sure works, because they wouldn't make it if it didn't work on one of the two. So I'm trying to figure out through Peter whether or not they can give us an assurance that, does this thing work? And if so, can he send us one? Because that would be a cool swap to be like, hey, we're upgrading. We're getting one piece, because eventually they could come out with a new display.
So you can just buy it, right? The fingerprint sensor?
It's $30.
Free sensor. Yeah.
Yeah,
let's just get it.
We can just buy it and do it. But yeah. I figured we'll see if they say something. Because if they say, yeah, absolutely does not work, then
yeah. Because if Chrome OS isn't going to recognize it through whatever build they're on, yeah, it could.
I have no idea how, like, I don't know what level. It just depends on how it reports over the bus to the motherboard.
Right. Don't know. Is that something that's just inherent to Chrome OS, or do they have to encode it to the specific device? Right. Yeah.
So, don't know. So if they say, yeah, it's 100% an upgrade, we'll either send us one or we'll buy one, because that'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Because that's really the only way you can upgrade this device at this point. Doesn't mean down the road they won't be like, hey, you want a 4K webcam? Buy it and swap it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hey, you want just a full HD panel instead? Here's a cheaper version. You know, I don't know why you'd want to downgrade that, but whatever.
Do they have a touch version of the Windows?
No. No touchy.
Do they have a CAC card reader?
A what?
CAC. Card,
I don't know what that is.
Reader, like government ID cards.
Oh,
CAC cards.
Because
remember that one weird pre-build device we got in from a different company had a built-in CAC card reader. It's an enterprise and it's a military, whatever kind of thing.
I would say no, because the only slots they've got for any kind of that stuff are those four that you can swap, and it wouldn't fit. A CAC card wouldn't fit in there.
It's true.
So, yeah, it'd have to almost be like some sort of weirdo external thing. But
yeah, they'd Chrome OS is working on external cat card readers anyway, so yeah. That'd probably just be a thing. But that would be cool if you could add that. But yeah, yeah, I didn't think about that. Those aren't as wide as an ID card, are they?
They're about an inch each. Ew. So there's the ports on the bottom. I think we talked about that at least a little bit last week. But you push the button. You do have to pull on them pretty good, which is good.
You don't want them sliding out all the time, yeah.
But, you know, you can pop them out. And, like, as soon as I sat down to the desk, and I was getting all the stuff set up, and like, it'd be better to have the HDMI there and then the USB over here for charging, and then to just turn it over and flopped them out and changed it, and boom. Oh, this is better.
Yeah, that's great.
And you don't have to turn the device off or anything. Just pop them out. Because on the inside, I'm pretty sure it's USB 4.0, probably, Thunderbolt. It's got to be a high bus to be able to handle anything, basically, that you put in it. So, the modularity of those things is really cool. It's the only part of the chassis, I would say, that doesn't feel like completely buttoned up, just smooth. But you got to pay a little bit for that modularity. I mean, it's not like they're like rough or they don't feel like they fit.
Right.
They just, you feel the seams a little bit.
Yeah, there's a seam there. The button's there.
Yeah, yeah, that's just part of what they're doing with that. But the rest of the device feels very solid. Like, it's all aluminum, so there's no like creakiness to it. One finger lift on the hinge. The screen looks amazing. There's a little bit of ghosting on it, but honestly, it's for people coming maybe from super high-end Windows laptops. Maybe that would be a downgrade, but most Chromebook laptops have a little ghosting on them. Where, you know, it's not necessarily the frame rate being low. It's like the animation just looks, there's just some left behind as things move. It's like quick animation. You see it a little bit, but I only honestly noticed it. I think Dave 2D, when he did the Windows, he did an unboxing of the Windows, and from a gaming perspective, he was like, that ghosting wouldn't be great for the quick movement type stuff. I'm like, you're probably right, but most people, that ghosting on that display is not that big of a deal. And if you're not looking for it, you're probably not going to see that. The screen looks great. It's super bright. 3x2, 13.5 inch. I've said it 100 times. I think it's the best of all worlds when it comes to a display on a laptop. Like, it feels nice and huge, like you've got this ton of space to work with, but you close the laptop down, it's like, oh, it's still small. Versus like the GE that I'm using right now, like, it's 16 inches and it feels
it feels like it.
I go to get my laptop sleeve in my bag and I got to get it lined up just right to get it to fit.
Which, it's fairly light for a 16-inch device, but it's still a 16-inch device.
Yeah.
And so, like, the keyboard is, man, it's excellent. Like, I've really enjoyed typing. Tons of throw, like a lot of motion to the keyboard, and a nice, it's not super clicky, but it's, the tactile feedback's very good.
Remember when we were looking at mechanical keyboards, what the thwack
or thock.
Thock.
Yeah, that's what it's called. Yeah.
It's got a good thock. Like, it sounds great. It reminds me so much, man, of like remember when Apple really screwed the pooch on the keyboards,
and
they made the ones that feel like hitting a table? The keyboards before that.
Yeah. When it was great.
Like when people were like, MacBooks are the best keyboards ever made.
The Cheeto keyboard.
And then the new keyboards are back. You know,
the new ones are good.
But they're still a lot more short throw than, they feel like more like modern Chromebooks to me. Like, it feels like a normal, that's what I'm used to. And so getting back to something that has a little bit more travel to it and still feels really good and responsive. Like,
right.
It's nice.
Does it
glass track?
Does it feel like it's like flopping around or nothing?
I think it's 1.8, right? 1.8,
I'd say. Because most things are like 1.2, 1.4 millimeters of travel.
Which that doesn't tell you a lot, because 1.8 can be really great or it can be really garbage. Like, Acer's keyboards used to be pretty solid. Lately, I've noticed they feel like they just have a lot
wiggly.
It's a lot of left and right play. Having a lot of travel is good if the keystroke is solid,
but when
it plays back and forth and you have a long keystroke, it just makes it feel like
it's just unstable.
Feel like they're rattly keys.
Yeah, yeah, it's like the feet on the table legs isn't quite
not quite lined up.
No, the framework feels like this table. They're very stable. It's very nice to type on. And so it's just like all these things go together. Like, the great screen, the speakers are shockingly good too. Like, they're, again, not wow, these are the best speakers I've ever heard, but really full and pretty darn loud. And they're the ones that kind of fire down into the side, so they get off the table a little bit. So I mean, you mix all that stuff together, even without all the modular stuff, like using that Chromebook, you'd be like, wow, this is a really nice Chromebook. Like, kind of feels a little MacBook ish I mean, it's a silver laptop with black keys. It looks kind of like a MacBook, but it's great. Webcam's nice too. It's a 1080p, but The dynamic range is pretty decent on it. Other than that, whatever that nagging performance issue is with it, I don't know going on with that. But
yeah, hopefully they can get that sorted out.
They will. I have no doubt about that. Or there's something wrong with the one I've got or something.
Yeah, because apart from the modularity of the ports, there's nothing, like we said, there's nothing unique about this thing internally. I mean, there's no reason. So I would say it's just a bug in that device.
Yeah, it's almost like there's something running, a process going. And I've tried to look in the Task Manager and see what is running. I can't really find anything. But I mean, I was looking at the diagnostic today and so I had it open, you know, and it sits there and runs, you know, what your processor is doing. And as soon as I go to 3, swipe finger up, 75%. And then it would slowly come back down.
That's a UI thing then.
Yeah, there's something with Chrome OS and this particular motherboard that they're fighting a little bit. So I'm going to, you know, power wash it and do all that kind of stuff first and then start submitting some feedback and then probably ping our Google rep and be like,
hey. Get that racketing extension installed.
And that's what, like, I need to log into the Chrome Unboxed account or, like, my work account that has basically nothing installed and run some, like, I don't want anybody to listen to this thinking, like, oh, yep, I can't buy that thing. Like, it 100% could be on my end, but I also test a lot of Chromebooks, and I log in the exact same way and do the exact same tasks on the exact same, you know, timeline all the time.
Rest assured, I mean, framework makes one laptop every year. They'll fix it. They'll fix whatever's wrong with it.
Right. Just for right now, if you're really excited about this device and you really want to go buy it.
Well, and if you have it, you're noticing this. Like,
right, you're not the only one. Yeah, let us know on Twitter if you did buy one and you're having some issues.
And if you're experiencing that, hit Alt-Shift-I and send some logs and whatever, and you might help them figure out what's going on.
Yeah, because we luckily, you know, we've got a contact, so we can send that stuff and probably get it. We've got a couple contacts that for stuff like this specifically. I've had John Miletus is like, tell me what's up. And so, you know, we can get it directly to him and then he can go assign somebody to it pretty quickly if it's a known issue.
Yeah. So obviously you need to spend some more time with this device. We need to figure out what's going on with this particular issue. And
it's hard to review.
Yeah, hard to form any other thoughts whenever you can't really use it. But it's such a cool concept.
It's not unusable. It just has moments where for 20 or 30 seconds it's like struggling to do anything and then it gets over it. It's super weird.
Yeah. So stay tuned on that. Obviously, as Robbie spends more time with it, we'll figure out review process for that one. And I think that one definitely deserves a full review. So
100%. It's very unique. It's special. Mm-hmm. It's just a special device in the Chrome OS ecosystem that does stuff that most other, not just Chromebooks, most other laptops just don't do.
Right.
You know, apart from the framework laptop, Windows version. Like, no other laptop does this that they do it. So it's super interesting.
Yeah, go watch the unboxing. Like, it's a unique device. And like, we were sitting filming it, and like, I knew it was going to be long filming it just because there's so much to say. Like,
yeah, it's not just like, so hey, let's get the box out of the way.
Yeah.
It's like,
no, there's all
the stuff that comes with it.
And by the way, the box is kind of cool, and it came with stickers, and like, there's it comes with a tool. All this stuff. So definitely go check out the unboxing for right now. Robbie will obviously spend some more time with this and figure out what's going on with it, and then get into a kind of review process.
Yeah.
So let's talk about one other device. You mentioned, you know, the 516 GE from Acer, but we have another gaming device in the office. Have we done an unboxing yet?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did we unboxed.
Honestly, I had to look.
Yeah, bro, I just put it in my post this morning.
I had to look yesterday when I was putting the best stuff together. I was like,
it's been a crazy few weeks.
It's in there. Yeah, it's there.
So the Lenovo Gaming Chromebook Gaming Edition.
We have the
IdeaPad Gaming Chromebook. Yes, okay. I believe we have
the i5, so which is now available too.
Yes.
When we did the unboxing, it was not.
Correct.
So it's come available.
Interesting device.
It is. It's
on par in most aspects with the Acer. I've not really handled.
It fights directly with it. Like,
yeah, I mean, yeah. Spec wise, they're pretty much identical. What's the brightness on the Acer?
I think they're the same panel.
So same panel, 350. 350. RGB keyboard, Core i5. The only difference internally is the Acer has the P series processor. The Lenovo has the U series.
I keep forgetting that.
So I haven't. We need to do our own benchmarks, but I'm sure if we get on on CPU Monkey or whatever we can see, I will almost guarantee you that the P series is going to beat the U series in most aspects.
You just got more threads, right?
Yeah, so you have two more cores and four more threads. Yeah, so it will multitasking, it's going to outperform. The GPU is the same, they're both Iris Xe graphics.
Yep.
On normal day-to-day use and even on cloud gaming, you will not notice the difference. No. The one area that the Lenovo seems to fall behind, just based on our early on Robbie's early hands-on, is that the Acer just has a better build quality. It has,
yeah, it's the Acer has an aluminum base, like right. The entire bottom isn't aluminum, but the entire bottom,
which we see a lot with Acer's mid-range devices. They're what they do. Aluminum top and bottom, and then they'll have some sort of composite or whatever on the keyboard deck, which is no big deal because your palms are resting on the keyboard deck. You don't really handle the when you're picking it up, you're feeling that outer chassis.
Yeah, as long as it's firm.
Well, like Lenovo is what? Just aluminum on the top, right?
Yeah, aluminum lid, yeah, all plastic bottom on a device that big.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's kind of bendy.
That's just physics. That's leverage.
The European version, the overseas versions, have these cool aesthetic on. Lenovo started doing this little one-third stripe down the lid, which looks cool, and this one has that. But there's no design on it. The European version has these little like pill-shaped bubbles.
Yeah, it's cool.
And it looks gamey without being over the top. I wouldn't feel bad about walking into a meeting with it, you know. But here's where things start to break down. You know, apples to apples, they're both great devices, and you could recommend either one based off the specs. The Acer is $649 retail.
Yep.
I'm sure it'll go on sale at some point. Lenovo's i3 retails for $5-something, but it sold for $399 until they sold out.
Yep.
The i5 on Lenovo's website is $799.
Oof. Yeah.
Well, we found that, it was like, oof.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my son's favorite new word, by the way. Oof.
Oof. Oof.
Yeah.
It's a great word.
It means died. Is what oof. Some son, I don't know if it's Lanky Box or one of the gamers
you're
that he watches.
You're saying so many weird things right now.
It's one of the ones he watches that the guy does gameplay for
Roblox and Minecraft.
No, Five Nights at Freddy's, and then there's another one, Missy. I don't know.
I can't watch Lanky Box. They annoy me.
They say oof a lot. No. Yeah. So
it's oof. Probably where it's rubbed off on me for my kids. It's a constant like.
But it's oof. It's a verb though. It's like he oofed. It means he died. Okay. He died.
I only use it as like oof.
Yeah. Reactive. So, but $7.99.
No point.
That's a tough pill to swallow because for $799 you can buy an Acer, spend $714, and have some money left over, and you've got a comparable device that's also a convertible and a touchscreen,
and aluminum, and a stowed stylus.
Yeah, and all of those things.
Better built. So there's a lot of reasons.
There's all the reasons. Oh, and it will also do cloud gaming just fine. You just don't get an RGB keyboard.
You're not getting 120 hertz screen.
True. Yeah.
But if you sit it next to the Acer, which I feel like of the three gaming Chromebooks is the more measuring stick.
This
is
absolutely.
They put the pieces together in the right order. The build quality of the Lenovo is less, but I think the speakers on both of them are really good. Lenovo does have a better keyboard. Right. Lenovo makes great keyboards, and Acer usually makes mediocre keyboards at best. The RGB lighting is better on the Lenovo. The keyboard's better. The trackpads, maybe a push between the two. Like, neither one of them were bad.
Yeah.
And the 516's good. It's not spectacular, which is good. You know, the ocean glass thing. But Lenovo's wasn't off-putting. And then internals, they're the same. And so really it just comes down to that kind of floppy exterior portion, which it moves around a lot more than I'd like, and you know that slight difference you were talking about in the processor, and so the only win for Lenovo is the keyboard, and I don't know, I feel like maybe you could make concession to say that they could be the same price, maybe. I don't think a keyboard warrants offsets the build quality issue, and I don't think it offsets the slight degradation in processor. But even if they were both $650, I'm like, you like the look of the Lenovo better, maybe, or something, or whatever. Or you are really picky about keyboards, then that's okay. But $800 and $650,
shoot,
never, not one time ever would I sell you to go buy the Lenovo.
Yeah, because I'm the same way. At $650, if they were both $650, I'm going to lean towards the Acer just because I like the way Acer's looks and whatever. And I can get past the keyboard. I'm usually using an external keyboard
anyway. Good. Like the GE is good. It's not like it's a bad keyboard. Yeah. It's one of my favorite Acer keyboards.
and if you're buying it for gaming and the keyboard's that important to you, then by all means go for the Lenovo. But I can't in good conscience recommend it at $799. But right now you can get it for $647.
And then is there a Rakuten thing?
That's with Rakuten. Okay. So if you do the Rakuten thing, there's two different promo codes that you can use that knocks like $65 off of it. But Rakuten's doing a holiday deal of 12% cash back. So you won't get that discount immediately, right, obviously. But when your next big fat check comes, you're going to get whatever 12% of $735 is.
Yeah.
You end up getting the device for $647. So that's a different story. Yeah, I can recommend it at that price.
Right, it changes the narrative.
Yeah, personally, if I had $650 and some change, I'd buy the Acer if I were looking for one of the gaming Chromebooks. But if you like the Lenovo, is it worth $650? Absolutely. Absolutely,
sure. It is. Yeah, and it's so funny. Sometimes we get talking about one Chromebook versus another, and it's easy to almost make it sound like this one's great and this one's terrible.
It's not that at all.
Like these are two very similar devices in most ways, but you know, there's certain things that appeal to certain people. And one of those to me is, again, we've talked about it multiple times during this episode. Like, it's just an attention to detail in the things that make a Chromebook feel good.
Right.
And the Lenovo feels like a less expensive, larger Chromebook,
right,
they just tend to feel kind of bendy and floppy, and I don't like that. I just don't like a device when I pick it up that it doesn't feel stable.
Yeah, because like for me,
I don't care if it's plastic.
If I was going off aesthetics alone, no touchy, just you had a picture of all three of them up there.
Yeah, I like the Lenovo.
I'd go for the Asus. The Asus is gorgeous, in my opinion. C436, only device to ever have that pearlescent lid.
Oh, yeah.
Gorgeous device, dope. But then the minute you got your hands on it, you're like,
did not like that one.
Just put it on your desk and leave it there.
Yeah. So, well, and the Asus, you know, we leave it out of these conversations a lot. It's a weird one.
It's 11th gen, it's 1080, but you get 144. It's just an odd
ghosty screen.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't done a review of it, and
we'll
get around to it at some point.
Did we unbox that one?
No.
Okay.
I started using it, forgot to unbox it, and I was like, I don't know.
It could just get its own little
And
video.
Again,
I think we're going to do just a video about it, and why I think it's the least, the one that I would recommend least, because it's 144Hz 1080p screen, and it's got ghosting issues, like, kind of bad. And so even though it registers at 144, it's so bad, I had to go find a web-based test to make sure it was actually doing 100.
Right.
I didn't believe it was 144 from the look of it, because the 120 looks so smooth. Everything, all the animations look so smooth. It is technically refreshing the screen 144 times a second, but there's so much ghosting on the screen.
It doesn't look like it.
And so, like, the whole thing is the way it looks to your eyeballs. Who cares about the spec? And so and it's only a 250 nit panel too.
Right,
and so
that's
like, there's so many
downsides.
Yeah,
and that goes right back to what we were talking to. Is it a horrible Chromebook? No.
Right.
But it's also $50 more than the Acer, and it's an 11th gen processor.
Right. It doesn't
make
any
sense.
And you've
got all those little nits that make it not great. At $499, is it a good value? Yeah. At $699, no, I'm not going to recommend you buy that.
And you know, you may be looking at that device thinking, well, it converts, you know, and it doesn't have a USI pin input. But I think it's some of these higher refresh rate screens. Like, the panels just won't work with the pins or whatever. Because the Lenovo and Acer, neither one of them have touch input. And so that could be a turnoff for some people. And so, like, the Asus has touch, and it's still got a high refresh screen. And, you know, you just said 11th gen processors are good. They are. There's nothing wrong with the performance of that device. And, you know, the keyboard's really good on it. It literally is the CX5, CM5 from last year with a different panel on it. It's the exact same Chromebook. So, you know, it's got a good trackpad, nice glass trackpad, and that velvety finish, and a lot of good things about it. There's a lot of fine things about that device, but you can probably go find the CX5 for
$369.
There
right
you
now.
Go.
Same Chromebook.
Same device.
And you likely won't notice the difference because the ghosting's so bad on the 144Hz screen, and then you'll get USI support, and you'll still get the flippy bendies, and, you know.
You still get the flippy bendies.
That's what it is. I'm like,
no flippies off the dock.
Oh, we're done.
No flippies off the dock.
I'm sorry. That
I've
got me.
Enough. I got no more words.
Yeah, it's done.
It's 10,000.
But yeah, you're right. It's we were just saying that for that price, you're getting.
It's crazy.
Essentially, the same
and,
device,
know,
but
always
want
to root
better
for Asus. But sometimes I'm just like, what?
That one does.
Sure,
that one
thinking
missed
with this one.
That
it one did.
Missed.
Yeah.
But luckily, the other two are good enough to like fight with each other.
But that, yeah, and that's what's crazy is like they have one device every few years. That's like, yeah, good job. And then when you know with the 5500 and the 5400 is like, I think they're finally getting there because they've got these great devices.
And now they've gotten
and
confused.
They're priced competitively. And then you guys just kind of like, oh, no, we're going to go back over here because their detachables has not been great. Mm-hmm. Their little flips have not been great.
That 5601, we unboxed it, I think, mm-hmm. the 16-inch.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I do remember that one.
Yeah. It's okay. I think it's got a dim panel on it, too, I'm pretty sure.
And I mean, I thought the CX9 was going to be the greatest Chromebook I ever used.
I did, too.
And it was good. It wasn't great. I loved working at my desk with it. But I was working on a monitor. I didn't love working at home on it.
Yeah, it was a weird device. Yeah. And I remember doing that review and just having to be like, I don't know. Yeah. It's just not working. The it didn't come together. It doesn't have the X factor, yeah. Whatever that is. They took the X factor out of it and put it in the CX5400. That's what happened. Because the 5400 is magic.
It's so good.
Magic
Such
device.
A good device.
Make a new one, please.
Yeah. What's it going for these days?
We sold out Costco, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. So I thought there was a deal.
Huge deal. It was like, what? Yeah. $600 for like the
$900 version.
Yeah. It's the
i5 16 512. Yeah,
the beast. I mean, just such a good Chromebook.
Yeah,
you know, like it's so cheap, but yeah, it sold out.
Yeah, it's a good device.
I still put it on the list.
It deserves
to
be
on the list.
You
probably still get it from
it'll come back around. Yeah, you can get the i3 8128 model on Amazon for like $600.
I mean, honestly, that's
and it's still worth it.
Still worth it for sure. Yeah,
fantastic
Chromebook. Or you can get the Galaxy Chromebook for $599.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
I know it's beautiful.
I kicked it. I almost wrote it up, and then I was like,
"Don't do it."
I just can't because somebody's gonna buy it, and then I'd be like, "Oh, you lied to me," and I'm like,
"Keyboard only works half the time, and trackpad stopped working."
Didn't
we
lie.
Ever get that one fixed?
Nope. I didn't lie.
So Michael just has a dud Chromebook sitting down there in Florida?
Much.
That's terrible.
We sent it back, what, twice?
Yep. Can't do anything about it.
Wow.
That's another editorial that's going to be coming out pretty soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Stay tuned for that one. Yeah. Okay. I think that's it for this week. We appreciate you all tuning in, listening, and watching. If you are watching over on YouTube, well, I guess first of all, we have a YouTube channel, if you didn't know.
What? We talked about it, 6,000.
Oh, yeah.
Is that why these cameras are here?
That's why we have these cameras here and this big old
I thought
light.
This was a live stream.
We're live stream. We're going back to live stream.
Going live, baby.
We did a few lives here and there. It was not fun. Make sure if you're watching on YouTube, give us a thumbs up. Thumbs up. Go down there, click subscribe. Notification bell.
It's tough, man. It's tough.
Over there, this here, over there.
Left.
I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm ready for turkey, and that's all that's on my mind. So that's it for this week.
We're eating tomorrow. So we'll see.
All right. We'll catch you all in the next one. See ya. Hey, guys. Thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunbox.com/podcast. And if you want to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, make sure to check out our website, chromeunboxed.com, and follow us on social media by searching for @ChromeUnboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.